So Heavenly Father, as this service unfolds and as things are shared and as songs are sung, we ask, Lord Jesus, that by your Holy Spirit, you would come to us and speak to us deep within our hearts and draw us, if we're not close to you, draw us close to you. Draw us, Father, to a deeper walk with you. Help us, Lord Jesus, to lift our eyes to you in wonder of your grace and awe, knowing that your arms are wide open to us regardless of who we are, where we've been, where we're at right now. Your arms are wide open, and you want to bring us close to your heart. Help us to let you do that this morning. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we sing together and as we share together, your close presence and your love and your care would be made known to us in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I just need to add a little bit to this song, Through It All, by Andre Crouch. Andre Crouch, as you know, because I've told you before, is one of my favorite songwriters from back in the day. He was a black American who came to be considered as the father of gospel music. And that paved the way for the contemporary music that we have today. But it also bridged a significant gap between black music and white music, which music in my mind doesn't have color, right? Neither do faces, all right? But in any way, it bridged that gap and those differences between the music. But it wasn't easy for him. He was often criticized. He walked through some very, very deep waters as he faced the criticism for the kind of songs that he was writing. And a famous hymn writer, Ralph Carmichael, actually, took him under his wing and encouraged him, as did Audrey Meyer, who wrote the song that Andre loved to sing, for it described his passion. I've a yearning in my heart that cannot be denied. It's a longing that has never yet been satisfied. I want the world to know the one who loves them so. Like a flame, it's burning deep inside to be used of God, to sing, to speak, to pray. To be used of God to show someone the way. I long so much to feel the touch of his consuming fire. To be used of God is my desire. And with encouragement from these two and others, and this passion on his heart, he went through the trials and then wrote this song that was sung. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon his word. The point I'm making this morning is he didn't just write words. He knew what he was writing about from his own experience. And he knew that his trials could only make him strong. Today, I'm not going to preach a message. We're going to do a musical message. I told that to someone one time, and they said, oh, so you're going to be singing. No, not like that at all. You're going to be singing. Because we've come through a time in our studies of James of looking at trials. We spent 4 Sundays getting ourselves to verse 12 in that first section, looking at the significant things that James has to say there about trials. And the things that it is of urgent necessity that we do in understanding what trials are all about and working through them. So what I did was I thought, well, maybe we'll, on Communion Sunday, we'll take a look at songs that have been written that come from people who knew what trials were all about, and we can discover something of the of what they had to say through music. Because music is the language of heaven, folks. And it's often the language of the heart. And how often in times of trial have you found yourself singing a song in the depths of your heart? Have you done that? Well, not enough of you. You're just all so shy this morning. And in singing that song, it reminded you of a truth. It brought the presence of God closer to you, and it helped God speak to you. So, John W. Peterson is a songwriter who knew about trials. As a teenager, his dream was to be a singer soloist. He knew he was good at it. He had a great voice, and he often sang on the local radio station and in churches many Sundays. One summer, he secured a job in a factory. The machines where he was working were loud, and he could sing, and he loved it. He could make up melodies and imagine that he was singing on stage somewhere, and he would sing at the top of his lungs. And he ruined his voice because of it, damaged it beyond repair. And during a time of great emotional upset, his interest turned to writing music, knowing he would never be able to sing the way that he had hoped to. And he writes these words: "What at first seemed a tragedy was used for good, and the course of my life began to take shape." And many of his songs celebrate the wonder and the joy of what it means to walk with Christ. He wrote a song, "It Took a Miracle to Put the Stars in Place." Many of you know that song, "It Took a Miracle to Hang the World in Space." "But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace." Such was the style of his writing. He was inspired one time at a camp meeting by a man's testimony of how when Christ had come into his heart, it had seemed like heaven had come down and glory filled his soul. And so then he wrote that song that we're going to sing right now. And I'm going to ask you to stand as we sing this one together. How else can we do it? Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. "What a Friend We Have in Jesus" was a song that grew out of an intense time of sorrow in Joseph Scriven's life, more than one time, actually. As a young man in Ireland, he was preparing for his wedding, and just before it was to happen, his fiancée's horse bolted and she was thrown and drowned as a result. He came to Canada. You can visit his home. It's a historic site. Has anyone here visited the home of Joseph Scriven on the side of Rice Lake? One. And your family, I presume. Okay. It's worth the visit. It's just a little cottage in the middle of a field. Kind of, sort of. But the view is beautiful. Looking down on Rice Lake, all the hay fields in front of you. The last time my wife and I visited there a few years ago, the hay had been fresh cut. You know, heaven doesn't have to be any better than that. Fresh cut hay field with a lake off in the distance, right? Amen? It will be, but it doesn't have to be. Eventually, he fell in love again. And once more, before the marriage took place, his sweetheart took ill and died. And on his little property there is a gravestone and a marker in the ground, and it simply says, Scriven's sweetheart. And out of that devastating time of revisiting the same thing again in his life, he wrote a letter home to his mother and included a poem that he had written as an expression of his heart and later put it to music. And it's the song we know as What a Friend We Have in Jesus. There's so much more to tell you, but that's enough for today because I've got a lot of songs that I want to work our way through. But let's sing this song realizing that as he wrote these words, this was his experience. He wasn't just writing. He knew the truth of what this is all about. What a friend we have in Jesus. Isaac Watts, who wrote many, many hymns, like his father, was a nonconformist in the 1600s and 1700s in England. And if you don't know what a nonconformist was where they were those believers who did not conform to the Church of England, the state church. Baptist is another term we give them. How's that? And because of that, often persecuted, non-conformists, well, we'll go into that another time. But they were not well treated. Isaac Watts challenged the church music of that day and changed the church music, coming under much criticism for it because the songs of that day, in order to be Christian, had to come directly out of the Psalms. The Psalms put to music, literally. That was, and often by Gregorian chant, but not always. He authored many hymns, such as I Sing the Mighty Power of God. He wrote Joy to the World, the Lord is Come. How many of you love that song at Christmas? Joy to the World, the Lord is Come. Do you know what? He raised such rancor over the writing of that song. Do you know why? Because at Christmas, you couldn't sing joyful songs. Because in those days, to be a proper Christian, you had to, in Edwin Smart's terms, suck a lemon before church. You know, how dare one sing a joyous song, right? But he stuck to guns. He wrote, "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride." If he'd have succumbed to the pressure around him, we would have not had songs like that. He knew about trials. "Jesus shall reign where'er the sun," is another one of his many. When faced with trials, folks, it's important to remember what Jesus has done for us and who we belong to and where the victory lies. And all of that is encompassed in his song, "At the Cross," which is our next one. And watch, because at the end of the first verse through, we're going to sing the chorus. The chorus was a later addition, so we're going to sing the first verse. Then we're going to sing the next two verses, which is actually the third and the fifth, but you won't know that. Doesn't matter. Just the words that are up here. Without the chorus in between, and then we'll conclude with the chorus, okay? Whatever the words are there, that's what you sing, right? Let's go for it. At the Cross. God uses our trials for our benefit. God also uses our trials to accomplish his work. 150 years after this song we just sang was written, a 31-year-old lady was attending a revival meeting in a church in New York. This song was sung as part of that meeting. And when the last line was sung, "Here, Lord, I give myself away, 'tis all that I can do," when she heard those words, she later wrote of that experience. She said, "My soul was filled with a celestial light." That night, a blind 31-year-old, Fanny Crosby, gave her heart away to Jesus Christ. If you're not familiar with Fanny Crosby, she's probably one of the most well-known of hymn writers, authored over 8,000 hymns and gospel songs. She knew all about trials. She was blinded in infancy by a doctor's mistake, but she was never bitter. She said on one occasion, "The first face I will see is the face of Jesus." She said on another occasion, "If I had not been blind, I could not have written all the songs that I have written." At one point, she was, in her words, desperately in need of some money. That what the need was is not known. But her situation she described as desperate. Her need in our terms today was for $1,000. And so she began to pray and commit her need to the Lord because she had no idea where that money was going to come from. And just a few minutes after she finished praying, a knock came at a door and there was a total stranger there and gave her exactly the $1,000 that she needed, which in that day was $5. Okay. In her gratitude to the Lord, she sat down and immediately began to write our next song, All the Way My Savior Leads Me. What have I to ask beside? Let's sing it together. Luther Bridgers was known as an effective pastor, an evangelist, church planner, preached his first sermon at the ripe old age of 17. How many of us can say that? I can't, even though I know God called me to ministry when I was 16. It took me a long time to understand that God could actually enable me to preach and get up the nerve to do it. But he didn't give me a choice. I had to. How's that? When Luther was 26 years old, he left his wife and three sons at her parents' home to go on a preaching tour. And that night, the house caught fire and burned to the ground with his family inside. And that began a time of deep depression in his life. For a long time, he was in this dark, dark place, sometimes almost suicidal. But out of that time of deep waters in his life, as he renewed his walk with the Lord and as he drew back into close fellowship with God, he wrote a song that comes out of that experience. And you'll wonder when I tell you what the song is, you'll wonder how in the world he could write a song like that. That's called the healing touch of God inside our hearts, like we were talking about last week. In that awesome time of prayer and anointing that God gave to us. The song that he wrote is the song he keeps me singing. There's within my heart a melody Jesus whispers sweet and low. You know, aren't you already going like, he wrote that? After all, yes, he did. So we're going to sing this song again. There's an occasion where we're not going to incorporate the chorus. So just if the words are there, that's what you're going to sing. And as we come to the end of the song, the deacons will be joining me at the table. And we have a few more things to share with you. And then our preparation for communion. Let's stand together as we sing this joyful song. Thank you. Amen? Amen. Raise the roof. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. That's the joy that Christ wants to give to us. And sometimes, folks, don't ever think that it should just happen when we go through deep waters and trials, that we should just be able to sing a song like that from the bottom of our hearts immediately. There's a process involved. And that's one of the things that some of the stories of these songwriters are telling us. Have you ever wondered how much Jesus cares for you? I mean for you. Not anyone else, for you. Charles Wiggle was an itinerant evangelist and a gospel writer. One day he returned from an evangelistic campaign to find a note from his wife that she was tired of the evangelist's life and she had left him. And he went into a time of depression, as one would expect, often becoming so despondent that he thought suicide would be the end, the only reasonable end to his pain. Alone and thinking that no one really cared for him anymore. But gradually, over a course of time, took quite a while, he worked through this time and drew into close fellowship with the Lord Jesus and began to discover the friendship and the care that Christ had for him and to receive that in his life. And as he came through that to the end of that, he wrote the song that we're about to sing just before we pray as a summary of his experience. Now, knowing that he went through these deep waters, know that when he penned these words, he knew what he was talking about. And he knew that Jesus cared for him more than anyone else ever could, just as Jesus cares for you, whoever you are. Whatever is going on in your life right now, know this, Jesus knows all about it, and he cares. Let's sing this song together. Just how much Jesus cares? He cares this much. He went to the cross for you, just as he went to the cross for everyone else. Let's pray. Father in heaven, our hearts are stirred by your presence amongst us. We're humbled as we come to this table of remembrance. At what our salvation cost you. And what you suffered on that cross for us. And what you did when you broke the chains of Satan and hell and death by rising from the grave and conquering Satan forever. But you did it so that you could redeem us. You paid our purchase price. So that we could come to you with an empty hand of faith and receive from you what you have done for us. Lord, we're humbled by the knowledge that you care for each and every one of us. Individually, personally, you are here right now. You know every single person who has come through these doors this morning. You know every need that is represented here. Father in heaven, I pray that every person here would just open their heart to you and allow you to be at work, knowing that you care, knowing that you love, knowing that you see every need and you stand ready to forgive and to heal and to restore where those things are needed. But Lord, we pray that as we prepare to receive the bread and the cup, your blood shed, your body broken, we pray that you would tune our heart to your work unique to each one of us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our last hymn, you might not think it was written by a man who knew what trials was all about. All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name was written by it. Well, actually, this hymn is often considered to be the national anthem of Christianity. And its author, Edward Perrenet, is mistakenly called an English pastor. He pastored in England, but only because he was a French Huguenot and had to get out of France because of the persecution of Christians there. And went to Switzerland and found it wasn't a whole lot better there, and then escaped to England to pastor there. And he is the author of this hymn, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, which speaks to us today. Let's stand as we conclude with this song. To this, our Father, we say amen and amen. And now we pray. The God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, to equip you with everything good for doing his will, that he may work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you.